Well, so I'll read from Luke chapter 11, and lovely for us to be with you tonight, and great to be able to turn to the Word of God, isn't it, in the evening. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, the chapter continues on, and it would be lovely to read more. But the verse that I wanted to speak on tonight is verse 3. Give us day by day our daily bread. Give us day by day our daily bread. And in many ways, it is a simple scripture that I wanted to bring tonight.
Hi, it's Mary. Shall I?
No, just someone coming in. Shall I pause?
George.
Hey, George, hi.
Yes,
good.
That's all right, yeah, that's all right.
Yeah. Luke chapter 11 and verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread. And I want to speak on a verse that is really very simple, I suppose. And to one extent, you might wonder, well, why it is that we turn to something so simple as this. But I suppose there are maybe two things that cross my mind why it's so worthy. The first, even though it is so simple, is there is safety in that, isn't there, in Scripture, and things that we know so well, actually just being reminded of them. If they're so important, it's worth looking at them. And then I suppose, secondly, there are depths to every word of God, aren't there? That though it may be a scripture which we're so familiar with, you can open the Bible on one day and read a verse you might know well, and suddenly it can be streams of living water coming out from that verse. And so the fact that we're familiar with something, I trust, should not put us over it. And why do I say simple? Well, I suppose simple because isn't the Word of God, and I appreciate that I'm spiritualizing this prayer, give us day by day our daily bread. But of course, that's the way that we've come to Christ in the first place. If we're Christians, then it's because we've heard the Word of God, we've believed the Word of God, and we've been born again by that Word of God. And now, having been born again, we are as newborn babies that have a natural desire for the Word of God. And in one respect, it's simple in that you don't need to tell a Christian you should wish to read the Bible. Because if you need to do that, then it's maybe evidence that someone hasn't been born again. Because we know instinctively that we need to feed, and we find our food in the Word of God. A book that before might well have been closed, or something that maybe we weren't particularly interested in. Now, naturally, we have a great desire for it. And we know something we don't necessarily need to be taught about it, something that the Spirit of God teaches us from the Word of God. But having said all that, it's good to look at these things again. There's a safety in looking at those things that are most fundamental, and there's an importance to them. And I suppose there's nowhere illustrated more than the breaking of bread. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ is the way that we're saved, by his death upon the cross. And it's of such fundamental importance that the Lord tells us that we are to break bread and we are to drink wine, or however some people do it, grape juice, to remember that we don't forget that thing that is most important. So I think, therefore, these things, though they're simple, they are important and worth us looking at. Implied in that is it's possible for us to neglect those things as human nature will allow. And maybe not to put the importance on them that we should do. So I don't want to be long tonight, but I just want to draw out a couple of things from this verse here. Verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread. And the first thing that I wanted to draw out is the dependency that we now have upon our Heavenly Father. And I trust that that will be something that thrills our soul, that we're now dependent upon God, who is now our Father, if we're Christians, for everything. And therefore, in that respect, even our daily food is something that for once we just would eat and not take for a moment to thank God for, Now, as Christians, we look to our Heavenly Father, even in the, might I say, the rich West, where we can just walk to the co-op, the Sainsbury's or McDonald's and buy food. Nonetheless, we look to God for that daily provision that we need. And at the heart of this, which is why I don't think it's right to say that every time a Christian prays, you are to pray the words of the Lord's Prayer, as some would call it. But there are principles contained in here that Christ is trying to teach us. And one of the principles is that God is now our Father, and we're dependent upon him for everything. But not only that we're dependent, but that we might commune with him for everything. Maybe sometimes we have a phrase, don't we, in English, that you can talk about who's the breadwinner in the house. Who's the person who earns the money that you can buy food with? Who is the breadwinner in your household? In the old time, it would be literary, because if you didn't have someone earning money, then you wouldn't be able to afford and be able to buy bread. But now, God is our provider of our daily bread. It's a very simple point I'm making, but isn't it wonderful, the contentment that a Christian can have? That we have the King of Heaven, the eternal God, who we now call our Father, who cares for us as his own children. And that's why we don't need to worry about where we're going to find our next food, or necessarily lay out provision for the months and years to come in order that we might have a guarantee of food. I wonder if you'd think about if someone very poor was adopted into a rich family. Previously they'd struggled maybe to know where they were going to find their next meal, but now they're in a rich family and their head of their household is someone with such infinite riches that they know they're never going to want again. They're always going to have all of their needs. Imagine what relief they'd have. They'd think, at last, I don't have to worry about where my next bit of food is coming from. Well, God is now our Father and is now our provider and the one whom we are to look to for our daily bread. We're never too old or mature as Christians, or rich or sufficient enough, even in natural food, to look anywhere other than to God. Now, I'm not saying in any way dismissing the practical wisdom that follows about being sensible with our finances and all those things. I'm not precluding that. But the point is I'm making is that God's constant presence is now with us. And he is a God with whom we are now reconciled, but a God who is now also our Father, and therefore to whom day by day the Christian life is to be one in communion with God. Isn't that what's implied from this? Day by day, give us our daily bread. Day by day, we are to be speaking to God and asking for our daily needs. I know that some would consider this to be simple, but isn't it a joy? And the last thing on this is that we are addressing God now as our Father. And the Lord Jesus, in the end of John chapter 16, emphasizes this point when he says, "At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God." There's real significance in Christ saying, "Pray our Father, ask your Father for your daily bread." He's not saying, "I will ask God on your behalf." But no, you will pray to your Father in heaven, in my name, the Father who loves you. He himself loves you as a father. Why? Because you have loved me. That is, you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, you are to pray to him for your daily bread. And that's the first point I wanted to make tonight that comes out from this. So we now have a dependency and an opportunity. We have communion with God, who is now our Father. The second thing that I'd like to pull out from this is that we have need of bread. It's a very obvious state to make. And I'd like to spiritualize here the daily bread with our spiritual food that comes from God, that we have such a need to be fed and sustained spiritually by God, and that we live now as Christians by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. As I said, it's something so simple. But there is now a need that we have. I suppose that man has always had that need. But now that we are alive to God, a need that we must now meet. And there's nowhere else to which we will find life and health other as Christians, other than from the Word of God. There are many alternatives that we can turn to as Christians, aren't we? We can read really godly Christian books or biographies or whatever else it might be, or maybe daily aids to help us to understand the Word of God. But there's even a shortcoming with those, isn't there? If they're good, they will contain the Word of God, but they are not themselves the Word of God. But we have such a dependency now and such a great need that we might meditate daily on the Scriptures. As I said, I'm not speaking anything complicated, but isn't it what the Lord quotes when he is tempted by the devil on that first instance, when he's told by the devil, if you are the Son of Man, then command this stone. If you're God who made the world, then speak to this stone and change it into bread that you might have your food that you desperately need. But Christ's response is to quote Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And isn't this what Christ is teaching? While he's teaching them about prayer, he's telling them that they are to ask for this. He's also telling them that day by day, we need our daily bread. We do not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And I think the instance that I think a great illustration of this is the manna in Exodus 16. Just a reminder that it is every day that we need the word of God. The Lord is very deliberate in when he brought the Israelites out of Egypt. He led them through a desert place, and they were a huge group of people. And now they had no fields or flocks. They had flocks, but they had no fields from where to get food. And it was an obvious problem. Where will we get food from for all these days, months, years that we're in a desert place in the wilderness? And God's provision is, of course, that when the dew came down in the morning and it lifted, there were little white bits of sweet bread left on the ground. And then the Jewish people were to gather those up each day and to eat them. But there was one bit of the principles that God emphasized to them and commanded. That was, they were not to gather other than on the sixth day of the week for the seventh, the Sabbath. But they were to gather only each day that which they needed for that day. And if they disobeyed it and they kept something overnight thinking, well, I'd better keep up store for tomorrow, other than on the Saturday, if you allow me to say that, then it would be rotten overnight. And in the morning it would stink because they had not kept what God said. But every morning, the word of God spoke and the manna was there on the ground and it was sufficient to the day of what they needed. And isn't that exactly what Christ is saying here? Give us day by day our daily bread. Every day, we're not to look back to tomorrow and say, yesterday, God said that to me, or 10 years ago, I remember when. We must remember those things. But actually, we need this day more than our physical food. We need to hear from God and to meditate upon his word. And how does the Bible get open to us? By us asking God, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Right from that illustration in Exodus 16, the Lord is laying down that pattern that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And it's to be gathered fresh each day. I trust I'm not overplaying that, but I think you can see the link from Exodus 16 to this verse. Give us day by day, that is, each day, the supply we need for that day of spiritual food. You hear sometimes, don't they, of those who just go to church on a Sunday only, and then they sort of get their fill for the week from that. But the rest of the week, they're not really a Christian in any way. But no, to be a Christian is the whole life, isn't it? It is every day, fresh grace from God, fresh communion with him. And as we were taught a hymn a little while ago by someone up in Lincolnshire, Isn't it grand to be a Christian? Isn't it grand? And it goes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, all day Sunday. Isn't it grand to be a Christian? Isn't it grand? It's very simple. But it makes a point that being a Christian is walking with God every day, receiving from him the word of God on a daily basis, which we need. Well, I don't want to be long tonight, but I had sort of three questions that I wanted to ask myself and ask you by way of application of this verse. Give us day by day our daily bread. And the first question maybe I'd ask ourselves is, how do I esteem his word in my heart? Do I recognize my utter dependence to be fed from heaven by our Heavenly Father on a daily basis? Or am I content to let it slip? Of course, when I use the word esteem, that might jog your memories to when Job says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food, which is Job 23, verse 12. And that was in a very early time, the Bible revelation that Job said such a thing in the Spirit of God. But it's surely there recorded for our direction and edification as Christians now. How do I esteem his word? What do I think about his word? Do I recognize my daily dependence upon his word? Do I feed daily on it? Do I esteem it, consider it so highly, more than my necessary food? Job had it spot on, didn't he? It was ahead of the time in Exodus, some think, when this was written, when the Lord told them that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, in saying all this, I don't mean to only spiritualize this, because the Lord himself says by bread alone. He knows that we need bread from him, that is, we need our daily food, and we're to thank him and seek him for that. But there's also something more highly which it represents, which is the word of God, which is the bread to our soul. How do I esteem that? Has this verse sunk into my heart, my need to have this day our daily bread, such that I will seek God for it? Second application is, may I ask this, does God seem more distant to me than at previous times? And I thought maybe we might have a solution as well into this verse. And it's terrible when you can remember a time where you say, for a closer walk with God, is one of the hymn writers who recalls that time when they walked closely with God. And may I ask that again about our experience of God? Do we, as a test to our souls, are we as close to God now as we were a few years ago, or maybe at a time particularly in our life? Are we walking closely with God, or does his presence seem a little more distant to me now than previously? Well, that might be that God is dealing with us in a particular way, and it's wrong to put one straight diagnosis on it. But might we ask, are we neglecting his word? Might it be, if we are to be praying, give us this day our day by day our daily bread, might it be that if we examine ourselves, could one reason be that maybe we should discount, that it may be that we're not feeding on his word in the way that maybe we did then? Which also, on the other hand, shows us, how can I walk more closely with God? Well, isn't the solution in his word, that we might meditate therein and know him and be fed for our souls? And the last thing I might ask from this is, has any discontentment come into our hearts? It was a very serious thing when the Lord was feeding the Israelites with that manna day by day. And what was their response? It was, oh, we wish that we had meat. We're not content with that which you're giving us, and we want meat like we used to eat in Egypt. And may I ask this, because I think we sometimes need to be honest with ourselves, if discontentment has come in with us as Christians, might it be to do with my attitude to his word? Is his word manna to our souls? In other words, are we satisfied when we awake with his likeness? Does that bring the satisfaction to our soul, or are we constantly looking to be fed, as it were, to be satisfied in our soul elsewhere. Well, we all know that that will never satisfy, but that only the Lord being centre of our lives will allow those other things to be in their right proportions and to have that due place in our hearts. But we can be satisfied when we're fed by God, when we awake with his likeness, when we hear his voice in the word of God speaking to us, directing us, feeding our souls. What joy there comes then. Well, have we lost any of those things? And I ask those to my own heart by way of application, as it's very poignant to finish with this point where the Lord's instruction comes in chapter 11, as he's just finished chapter 10, where he's told Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And what had Mary chosen? It was to sit at Christ's feet and to hear him teach. And straight away the Lord instructs the disciples how to pray, of which verse 3 is one of those instructions he gives us. Give us day by day our daily bread. I don't apologize for speaking on something that is very simple, but of which there are depths which I know that I would have barely touched the surface on tonight. But may we not again pray and ask our Father who art in heaven that he would give us day by day our daily bread, that we would be fed by that provision from our Father in heaven himself, that spiritual food to which there is no comparison, which will speak holiness, sanctification, strength, and all the spiritual nourishment that we need. Have we stepped back from that a little bit? Well, let's pray again that God would give it to us. Let's not look to any other well, as it were, of living water, but let's look to the word of God, the purchase that Christ has enabled, that we might now walk with God and know him, fed day by day by his daily bread. Amen.